You guys, I got asked to speak at the Christmas tea. I'm like so excited. To me, this is maybe the honor of all honors. This is one of my favorite events. It kicks off Christmas, the Christmas season for me. So to be asked to speak was like, I got the text from Emily and I was in bed. I rolled over to my husband. I was like, I think I just got asked to speak at the women's Christmas tea at Westside. He was like, what? Because he knew. He was like, what? I was like, I don't know. So I'm so excited to be here with you ladies. If it's your first time, welcome to the event of the year. all right. I'm going to pray to kick us off. Jesus, I just thank you so much for each woman that came to this room. God, I thank you that you know each of these ladies intimately. You know their stories. You know what they've been through. You know what they're going through right now, God. Lord, you know their culture. You know their language. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just come right now and you would take over this time, that you would speak to each of these women what they need to hear, God. We just love you, and we hand it over to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. So this talk that I am sharing with you today, I originally titled Cultivating a Lifestyle of Worship. So I'm really excited to share this with you. I really believe that worship is a really beautiful way to connect with God. And I think that Jesus, the whole reason of Jesus coming to die for our sins was to reconnect us with God. God created us to be in relationship, not just with one another, but with Him. And He brought Jesus came and died, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but He came and died for our sins so that there would be full connection at all times. He wants access to us at all times, not just occasionally. He doesn't want shame or sin or anything in the way. He wants us to be connected with Him. And so today we're going to be talking about how to connect deeper with the Lord, which is great. The fruit that we can get from connection is lovely. We get connection with God when we're connected with God. And if you've been walking with God for any period of time, I'm assuming that you could relate. When you're in those sweet seasons of connection, fear begins to leave, trust and joy increase, love increases, irritation, I get irritable, you guys. Irritation decreases. When I'm connected with the Lord, I'm less irritable, which is lovely. But when we're not connected with God, fear and anxiety increase, jealousy, insecurity, and greed increase as well. We see this in Galatians 5:19 through 21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Not like this kind of wild party, but other kinds of wild parties. So it's very clear, the fruit of our lives can indicate if you're connected with the Lord or not. So Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the Holy Spirit, when we're connected with Holy Spirit, it produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Can anybody relate to that? If you've been walking with the Lord, you feel there's just life is, right? Life is kind of hard. And usually life is like good and hard all at the same time. I don't think it's just good and just bad. Sometimes it'll feel that way, but I think oftentimes it's always straddling both. But whenever we're connected with the Lord and we're connected with Holy Spirit, there's just a little bit more grace on the hard edges of life. And so that's why I think it's really important that we begin to develop even that muscle just a little bit deeper of connection with the Lord, just to bring a little oil and grace to the hard edges that life just inevitably blows our way. Let's see here. Okay, so I always like to go over the agenda of what I'm going to be talking about, because our brains like to know what's coming. I'm not just going to just endlessly be talking at you. But I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story. We're going to do just a short exercise. We're going to explore the question, what is worship? And then we're going to dig into some scripture on worship, because I actually love it when people preach, when they just read the word, because then the Lord can just speak, which is great. It helps me get out of the way even more. And then we're going to talk about some practical tools and application. I think it's really important whenever you're doing something like this. It's so easy to leave. Like, these events can be overwhelming, very stimulating. You're talking with all these people, eating all this food. There's all this gorgeous decor. So we're going to just take a little moment at the end to just sit and instantly apply what you've learned, so that you can just go away a little more connected with the Lord as you enter in to the rest of this holiday season. So my story, whenever I was 6 years old, my family lived in the Bay Area. So my mom's a Southern California girl. We moved to the Bay Area, and my mom, she was in all kinds of cults and all kinds of crazy things. She was looking for God everywhere, like literally searched the world for God. She went through all these different religions. My dad had to. He explored all these different religions. My mom even went to India looking for God. And then we went to a Christian church in the Bay when I was 6 years old. And I remember it was a marked time in my life. Oftentimes we don't remember a lot of things from our small childhood, but there are those moments that you just can pick out. And when I was six, I remember there being this shift in my mom. Just something changed. And it stood out to me so much as a six-year-old. I asked her about it. I was like, what is different? And so at Sunday school, when we went back to the church, I accepted the Lord, because she had come to know Jesus. She was in a service, and I think there was just a word, and it was just Holy Spirit speaking to her. It was just, she ran out of the church crying, and there was a woman. God had told her to be standing in the foyer, and she was obedient to that still small voice and was in the foyer. And my mom ran out there, and she prayed and invited Jesus into her heart, and she knew it was the real deal. After all the looking of all the places, she knew that was the real deal. And I saw the shift. And so when I went to church on Sunday, she told me, she was like, talk to your Sunday school teacher. So all you Sunday school teachers out there, that's a really powerful position. And the little people in our lives, they're really perceptive. They're little humans inside there. Just because they're neurotic and crazy doesn't mean that they're not a real human in there. And so I got saved, and that's when my relationship with God really began. We moved to Texas when I was 12, and it was a hard time for our family. There was a cultural shift moving from California to Texas, and then all of our extended family was all over the place. So we were just kind of alone there. My parents were going through a hard time. We weren't going to church, but one of our neighbors had a small church that they went to, not unlike Hillside and Westside. And so it was a very family-oriented church. One thing that I love about, I didn't even say this. I said this yesterday. Me and my husband started going to Hillside, which is actually a church plant of Westside. If you haven't been here, if you've only been here for a little while, about 5 years ago, six years ago, Westside had a group of people leave here and church plant in Cameron Park. And my husband and I started going to that church about 2 years ago. And it's been one of the best church seasons in my adult life, because there is something to be said, and Westside cultivated the DNA of what we got to bring with us to Hillside, and that is we do at Westside and Hillside community and family really well. And if there's anything to brag about, I think that is the number one thing that actually changes lives. I am a product of that. Now I'm going to cry. When I was 12 and I'm going to this little church in the backwoods of Texas and my family's all crazy, they were my family. My youth pastor and his wife and the kids at that youth group were my people. And I began to really fall in love with the Lord there. And it was evident through the authenticity of the people at that little tiny church in Backwoods, Texas called Grace Fellowship Bible Church. And I'm ever indebted and grateful for those people. It was a really healthy little church. And I'm so thankful for that, because that's where, in that season, in my junior high and high school years, is when I really began to cultivate my relationship with the Lord. So it was a time where I think there's something really special about our youth, where we're really present, right? You can see that with kids when there's things that they're supposed to do, but they're always just present. They're going to forget all the things on the either side of that, but that's a gift as well. Even though it can be frustrating, I'm sure, as a parent, for those of you who have teenagers, it's really a gift for them, because whenever they are somewhere, when they're with their people, if they're with you and they're not on their phones, then they're present. And so whenever I would go to youth group and worship would begin, I was very, very present. And I was very sincerely hungry for real relationship with God. And there's this scripture, Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." I believe this is a universal truth. Whenever I was 15, I wholeheartedly wanted real relationship with God. And I think it is the outcry of everyone's heart. We want real relationship with God. We really do. And all over the world, regardless of what culture or what religion you're a part of, there is a cry for intimacy with God. And it's because it's what he created us for. He created us for relationship with him in the garden. And if you seek the Lord, you will find him. Deuteronomy 4. That's how you say it, right? It sounded weird when it came out. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "If you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." And what's cool is, no matter where you are, whether you don't feel like you have connection with God at all, or you have lived connection with God and you've had closer moments and not as close moments, this is always true. So if right now you're like, man, I'm hungry for more connection with God, well, guess what? If you seek the Lord, your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, with all the things. Mel has a tattoo. It means all the with all the things. I heard this guy speak at this conference, and he said, the only way to connect with God is to be in the present. And I think that's really true. So I think that was what I got to experience at that little church in my high school years, was I was really present and I got to experience God. And as we become adults, that gets a little crazier and a little harder. So I think it's really important, whenever you're beginning to be intentional with your time with God, is to throw off the things that are distracting. So Scripture says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." Isn't that true? "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And it's so, I mean, that makes so much sense, but it's so hard not to live in the future. And it's so hard not to live in the past. And it's so hard not to be concentrated on, even if there's relational unrest or something, those things can be really distracting. And then all of a sudden we're not present, right? So if you go and you're even in the car and you're just like, I'm going to spend some time with God right now. And then it's like, woo, over here, I got this thing going on at work and that guy was a real jerk. You know, like those things get, and so God is asking us, don't be anxious about stuff. Lay it off. Let it go. He knew we were going to have a hard time with that. So, yeah, really, that's really important. Let me see. Where am I in my talk? Be present, therefore. Okay, and then Matthew 5:23-24 says, "If you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." And the sacrifice, back then in Jewish tradition, is so that you can have connection with God. But sin enters our lives, and sin is just something that is, it's like the death. It's the yucky things in our life. And so we want reconnection with God, and so that's what the sacrifice is. So whenever you're coming to connect with God, lay off those things that are distracting you. Let's see, y'all. Oh, I love this quote by Tyler Faria. What starts with discipline turns into desire. Okay, so in my 20s, my husband and I met at a ministry school in Texas. I went fast forward to from high school to ministry school. And we went to this little ministry school, and we would just have this little charismatic church, and they had this little ministry school, and there was like 30 of us. And we would worship God for hours, like 2 or 3 hours. It was just a lovely time. But I think what had been happening all through that time, through my relationship growing with God in my high school years and then into my 20s, is I was working this muscle, and I didn't realize that I was, but I was exercising this muscle of being present and being connected with God. And so it was really easy to enter into these long times of worship. Like 2 or 3 hours of worship is a long time, and that probably sounds a little boring to a lot of us. And I get that, because that muscle has atrophied. So that is a long time of worship. So we want to grow and we want to build that muscle. And for me, life just began to happen, and it's not normal for people to have 2 or 3 hours of worship. And so life happened. I met my husband, we got engaged, we got married, we started going through hard health things. We've had a prolonged fertility journey, is what I like to say it. Don't like the word infertility. We've had a prolonged fertility journey that has been sorrow filled. So that's distracting. Work, making money, adult responsibilities, all the things. Like, those things get really distracting. And then all of a sudden, life is happening and you're distracted and you're over here and you're not focusing. I wasn't focusing on connection with God as much. So when Chris and I came to Hillside, it's been a really sweet and really unique season for us. We were asked to come on and do worship, and just out of obligation to practice playing instruments so that we don't totally fumble, on a Sunday morning, I began to sit down and spend time with music, which then all of a sudden I realized, whoa, like, I used to come in and worship the Lord, and I would feel so connected to Him, and we would have these conversations, and it was so good, and we'd work through these things, and there was a lot more oil and grace around the hard things in life than there is right now, and I don't feel really connected to God. And so I would just begin in those moments to start to exercise the muscle again. So maybe I get my guitar out, and you can apply this to whatever it looks like for you to connect with God, right? So I'd get my guitar out, and I would have like 1 minute of like being able to stay connected with God. Blame Instagram, but 30-second sound bites is pretty much what I got for concentration level these days. And so I began worshiping, and the more and more that I would practice songs out of obligation, and I use that word really intentionally, is it was out of this place of obligation that all of a sudden connection began to grow, and all of these hard things that are happening in my life felt a little less hard and are feeling less and less hard. So all of those things that are tricky to navigate, all of a sudden the presence of God began to come and like help me out a little bit here, and not having to like have as many meltdowns as I was before. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. I like this. So let's continue to cultivate this muscle of connection with God. Because that muscle atrophies when you don't use it. So what starts with discipline turns into desire. I love that. So just think of that is like, if you're not feeling connected with God on some level, one level or another, maybe make something inevitable to connect with Him. Let's see here. Fear begins to leave, trust and joy increase, love increases. Even with people who frustrate me, love increases, and all of a sudden it's easier to love them. Okay, so my husband, he is the worship leader now at our little church, Hillside, and he says this anytime he speaks on worship over the years. We also led worship for a church in San Luis Obispo, so he would teach on worship. And he says this quote, and I love it, so I had to put it in here. It was kind of the framework of even this whole talk, is the presence of God is always present, but that doesn't always mean we are paying attention. My spouse can be in the room, but that does not mean I'm having meaningful connection with him. Isn't that good? The presence of God is always present. He's here right now, whether you feel him or not. He's with you in the grocery store, whether you feel him or not. But that doesn't mean we're paying attention anywhere. My spouse can be in the room, but that doesn't mean I'm having meaningful connection with him. We can be hanging out, but it doesn't mean our hearts are connected. So now we're, yes, hi, come. We're gonna do a little exercise. This is Emily. If you don't know her, she's amazing. So let's say Emily and I are wanting to get to know each other a little bit better. So we get intentional. We go out of our way to get coffee together. And we as women, I think, are even better at this than the boys, of like connecting on an emotional level, right? We're created in the image of God. This is also how we can connect with God. I think God stuff can get really like ethereal and like, how do I connect with God? But we're created in his image. So how would you connect with another human is also how you would connect with God. And so if I'm going to hang out with Emily and I wanted to connect our hearts, would I just be like, hi, Emily, you have blonde hair and blue eyes and you're wearing a white shirt? That didn't feel like very connecty. But if I am with Emily and I'm like, Emily is an incredible woman of God. I love who she is. She's a woman of integrity. She's fierce, so fierce. She fights on behalf of the women of this church, like on a level that you guys have no idea. And she's so authentic, which I think is so beautiful. She challenges things. She doesn't just take religion as at face value. She goes into the deep, hard places, which is what you want in a leader. So it's beautiful. Who she is amazing. Did that feel a little more connecty than how I said before? Like, that connects our hearts. Like, knowing who she is and speaking to that place of who she is as an incredible leader. Thank you. Yes. So I think it's really important, as you're wanting to connect with God, is to know who he is and to speak to that place. Like, if you seek him, you will find him, and he wants to be found by you. Get present and begin to connect with his heart. Who is God? If you don't know who God is, open your Bible and begin to read about his character. It can be really powerful to just speak the things of God, but like, we're not going to say of God, we don't, you know, I don't know what color hair he has. We're not just going to be like, but it can be like that at worship, right? When you come to church on a Sunday and you're just like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Like, I don't even know what holy means. You know, like, that's not connecting our hearts with God. So, like, get personal with him. Use your own language. Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Begin to speak that to him, and you'll begin to feel that connection begin to increase. I think that God has a love language. Chris and I, we've been in a transition season. And while we were moving and there was just all this upheaval in our life, life is busy. And I wasn't feeling connected to his heart. We weren't feeling connected because we're so freaking busy. And so I had a moment of meltdown where I was like, I don't feel loved by you. I want romance. Like, where's the romance in our relationship? And so we had this like talk, and he's always so sweet and so kind. I have an amazing husband. So he's like, okay, yeah, like, okay, like, let's connect. What would make you feel loved? Let's have a date. You know, I like quality time. And his love language isn't necessarily my love language, right? And so sometimes you kind of have to re-up. And so after this like conversation we had, and I felt better, and we had a plan of like how we're gonna connect. As soon as I got alone, I felt the Lord convict me, and he was just like, how can you require that of your husband when you're not doing that with me? And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to be intentional with my time with the Lord. And so just like if you want to deepen your relationship with your husband, or any human. It takes work and it takes effort. And so it's the same with the Lord. And the fruit of it is worth it. Sometimes it can feel like, okay, now we have to set this time aside, and it feels inconvenient. But what do you value? If I look at your schedule or I look at where your money is going, I probably can tell you where your values lie. And so there is a sacrifice to connection. We do need to set aside some of ourself, whatever that looks like, to connect with God. But it's so worth it, just like it's worth it to have a good marriage and to put the time and effort into it, even in a season where it's hard. Same with God. Okay, let's get into scriptures. Matthew 4:8. Jesus says, you must worship You must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Yeah, actually, I don't have that on the slide, so you won't see that. You must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is actually when Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the desert. But this is also, it's the command of God. Exodus 24, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in heaven, or on the earth, or in the sea. And so I challenge you, what are the things that are taking up that real estate in your heart that actually belong to God? Romans 1:20-21. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. It's written in our hearts that there is a God. I really believe that for all humans, and we need to connect with him. Isn't that an interesting? I just think that is so interesting. Yes, they knew God. You can't deny it. He's there. But they wouldn't worship him or even give him thanks. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Just finding where I am on here. So worship, I think if you've been a part of the church, if you've been a part of a Christian denomination church, you'll hear the word worship. I think we even used that language this morning where it's like, we're going to have a time of worship, which indicates song, and then we're going to have our preach or whatever is next. But worship is not synonymous with song. It can be. There are words of worship that are songs. So that is a great, song is a great way to connect our hearts to God. But it isn't, worship isn't just singing. It isn't just praying. Worship isn't just giving. If you look at the Webster definition of worship, it is to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. I think it's interesting that the Webster definition also says a celebrity worshipped by her fans, because that is our cultural understanding of worship, is like idolatry, literally. Which, let's see here, is idolatry slide next. Oh yeah, let's go here. So worship, I practice saying this word and I'm not even going to try right now. But this is the original Greek of worship. It means to prostrate. Oh dear, I almost said something that would not have been good. Prostrate oneself in homage, special honor or respect shown publicly. So it is that setting aside, right? That bowing down. And we're doing it. Whether you realize it or not, we are created to worship. You're worshiping something, whether you realize it or not. So you need to identify, is that thing God or is it something else? What is taking up, what are you obsessing over? When you're obsessing over something, that generally is a good indication that you're worshiping it. Tracy said something really beautiful one time. We were talking about a certain situation and a friend who was obsessing over something, and she said something so profound. She was like, oh, I just wonder what the first thing is that they think about in the morning and the last thing that they think about when they go to sleep. I was like, oh, well, that's great, because I'm not thinking about the Lord the first thing in the morning. It really challenged me. I think that is a good litmus test and a good indicator of where is our devotion? What are we thinking of? What is taking up all that real estate in our heart and in our minds? But you are holy and you inhabit the praises of your people. And I love the original language here. Inhabit is the word yashab. It means to dwell in, inhabit, live within. And praises is praise or song of praise. So whenever we are, the next slide shows the descriptions. So whenever we praise and we worship God, there's in Psalm 22:3, the slide, there is a slide with some pink letters on it for the slide projector person. So that people can see the descriptions as well. Yes, there it is. Cool, thanks. I think that's so cool. Like to think about whenever, whether it's at home and I'm wanting to connect with God or wherever it is, that when we praise and we worship God, He actually dwells within our praises. Like that is where He is found. So if you cannot find and do not feel connected with the Lord, He dwells in, inhabits, and lives within our praises. And in this particular instance, it is a song of praise, praise or song of praise. So that's really cool, right? So if you want to know where to go find the Lord and go find connection with God, praise Him. And He is there. That's where He's found. Okay. The Webster Dictionary version of idol is an object of extreme devotion, a representation or symbol of an object of worship, broadly a false god, a likeness of something, obsolete, pretender, imposter, a form or appearance visible but without substance. I need a little sip of water. 1 second. So my husband and I, we like to rock climb, and we like to go to Yosemite to do some rock climbing. There's like there's a climbing community, like culture there, and there's all these rocks to scramble around, way more than you would even know. And so we'll go and we'll camp there, and we have our gear, and we usually do like one or two pitches, which is like 100 feet or like 200 feet. On occasion, we'll do like 300 feet, which is like, you know, Chris will climb some of the big stuff, but I'd usually just follow him up like some two or three pitchers, right? So we go and we'll go climbing, and it's so fun. And there's a really well-known rock there called El Capitan. Have you guys been to Yosemite? You guys know El Capitan. Very impressive, big mountain. It's 3,000 feet tall, and it's well known for rock climbing. And even recently, there's been a lot of documentaries put out about El Cap and the climbers who climb El Cap. Some crazy ones who don't do it with ropes. So there's like crazy people who climb these things, right? And so Chris and I, we're not gonna climb El Cap. We were like, let's go climb. There's some great little climbs. Chris is great at researching and finding there's some great little climbs at the base over on the left side over here. So let's get our gear and just go do a couple pitches before we like go hiking with the family, because usually we're camping with the family. So we get all our gear on, and there's these hiking trails at the base, and we're taking one of the trails to get to the base of the mountain where the climbs are. And there's tourists. Yosemite is like a zoo of human beings. It's so, so crazy there. And so there's all kinds of people walking on the paths, and they're, you know, admiring El Capitan because it is awe-inspiring. I'm like, if you don't believe in God, go to Yosemite, because you just, Chris and I literally drive into the valley and we're like weeping. We're like, oh God, it's just like so gorgeous. So anyway, we're hiking and we have our gear on and we're jingle jangling, and And we notice like people are moving to the side for us on the path, and we're like, oh, thanks, like that's nice. And then people, like, we're really now starting to notice people are behaving strangely. They are moving to the side for us. One group of people moves to the side and they begin to applaud. They're like clapping, and we're like, you know, walking like, thanks. And Chris and I are looking at each other, and then it happens again right after that. Another group pulls aside, they start clapping, and one guy, he gets this look in his eye. I'll never forget this look in his eye. And he goes, you are the elite. And he's just like, wow, these rock climbers are walking towards the base of El Cap. And Chris and I look at each other, we keep walking, and we just start busting up laughing, because we realize they think we are about to ascend the nose. They think we're about to spend 5 days on the face of this cliff, and we're just going to go scramble up some really not impressive climbs at the base, and we are just cracking up. We did not correct him. We just took the compliment and kept walking. So if you're ever feeling not so great about yourself, throw on some rock climbing gear. Walk around the base of El Cap, and you will get praises not due. Anyhow, I woke up thinking of that story the other morning, and I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so... They thought that we were something that we were not, and they were giving us praise that we were not due. And so it can be a little tricky. Sometimes the things in our life look like they are worthy of our praise and our attention and our honor, but they are not. So I want to challenge you girls just to begin to inspect those things in your life that look like they have the appearance of worthiness, but they are just climbing a 5'9" single pitch at the base of the mountain. Okay. Genesis 2:5, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to abode, to work. Let me find, I lost myself in my notes. So the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work, which means the word there is abode, to work for another, to serve. So working and keeping are two words that are often used to describe the work of the Levites and priests in the tabernacle and temple. To work can also mean to minister to, and most of the time it means to serve. So we get the idea that Adam was created to minister to serve, or to do the work of the work God had given him. So we are all, Adam is kind of, you know, symbolic of who we are. We are created to minister to the Lord. And the Levites were a sect of the Jewish people who were set aside to worship and minister to and attend to the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to be doing with our lives, is attending to and serving him with our whole hearts, with all the things. We're to be serving him. Okay. Oh, let's go to Luke 10:25. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Oh, did I read all the scriptures? Yes, I think I did. Cool. Sorry. Skipping around a little here. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus died for this connection with us, and all we have to do is love him. What must I do to inherit eternal life, to stay connected with God for all time, is we just need to love him. Jesus died so we could have constant connection with our Creator. The Jewish tradition of sacrifice was if you committed adultery or lied or created a sin, then there was different types of animal sacrifice that you would do in order to cleanse you of your sin and reconnect with God. And I know in our Western culture that sounds a little crazy. This stuff still happens today in all kinds of cultures around the world. Sacrifice is something that I think is really interesting, because if you look at in Jewish tradition and then even in other traditions all throughout the world, is you'll see this theme of mankind knowing and feeling deep within them that they need something to atone for their sins to connect with God. And when we're talking about sin, I think the language can oftentimes be equated with like shame and like bad, you're bad. But I don't believe actually God's perspective about sin. I think his perspective of sin is anything that brings death in your life. It is anything that brings unlife. He doesn't want us to sin because he's like, if you murder someone, it is going to hurt so many people. If you commit adultery, you are going to break the heart of the person you committed to. He knows how we were wired and how we were created. And he's like, don't do these things because it's going to suck, not just for you, but for all the people around you and for generations to come. It's still, we see that today. When someone does something that is not moral, is not good, it affects so many more people than you would know. It affects so many people. And same the other way. When you make good choices and you do not sin, you follow the path of life, life-giving ways of doing life, then you are producing this beautiful fruit in your life and the people around you. And so when God is like, don't sin, it's not like, don't sin, you dummy. It's like, don't sin because it's painful and it hurts. He's like, take the path of life. But he's given us free will because he didn't want robots, right? It's like if God wants relationship with us, he's not just going to be like, you're going to marry me and you're going to be mine and you don't have any say about it because you're a robot. Like, he wanted us to have the choice to choose him or not. And so we have that choice, and we have that choice every day, actually, still, whether you believe in Jesus or not, you have the choice to pick death or to pick life. And so he wants us to pick life. And because it is the outcry of human nature, knowing that we need a sacrifice so that we can reconnect with God, he's like, I'll make the ultimate sacrifice. I will send my son, Jesus, to the earth. He will live a perfect, spotless life, just like the perfect, spotless lamb that you need to atone for your sins, and he will die once and for all so that we always have access and connection to relationship with God. And all you have to do is believe. And I believe that there's some women right now and your hearts have been burning and on fire even since the beginning of this message. You know that the Lord has been in a beautiful way coming after you. He is not letting up. He wants relationship with you, and it's not something to be afraid of. He's not wooing you in and bringing you in to shame you. He wants to bring you in to heal you and to love on you and to cover you. That's his heart. So don't believe the things that come in our heads where it's just like, it's scary or whatever it is. Let go of that. That is the voice of the enemy. That's the voice of death and darkness. We want not that you guys over here are dark. Not trying to say that. He wants you to choose the path of life. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So today, as we go into this application time, I just want you to pay attention to if your heart is like, I've actually never made that declaration. I think there's something really important about saying it out loud too and telling people, because it's like, hey, this is my new identity. This is who I am now. I am choosing Jesus. And if you need a church community to plug into, I have two great churches I can recommend. So, okay, well, let's talk about application, and then I'm going to circle back to that Romans 10:9. We want connection with God. I did this health coaching program, and it was all about habit change, because oftentimes we all know at the end of the day, most of us know I need to drink more water. We can intuitively tap into the healthy things that we need to do, but it's the habits that prevent us from making it happen. And so I loved this health coaching program that I did because you can apply it to everything. Habit change needs to be applied to everything. So first, what we want to do, as if you're wanting to be intentional to reconnect with God, like I had used that word obligation before, like set up some inevitable things when you're not feeling it, but you want to connect to the presence of God, we want to make it inevitable. So some little habit change tips for you guys is think of something where it would just trigger. There's this, they would use this word called trigger reminders. You would have trigger reminders. So it's like, okay, every time you have a routine of some kind, right? You go to work in the morning or you take your dog out to go to the bathroom. So put a pink sticky note, just a blank one, by your door. And when you walk out the door while your dog is going to the bathroom, just know I'm going to take 30 seconds and I'm going to be present and I'm going to begin to cultivate this muscle of being present. And maybe 30 seconds is all you have because you too like Instagram and that's all your brain can concentrate on. So if you're wanting to reconnect with God, just like don't put a lot of pressure on yourself to make it this big thing. That's what I do personally. And so I'm assuming that there's some gals here who would do the same thing where it's like, I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. So now I'm going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and I'm going to spend 45 minutes in prayer and worship. But I don't wake up at 5:30 in the morning. So it's not like I'm making that really hard on myself. But it doesn't have to be hard. Just incorporate it into your life. It just is a matter of taking and building that muscle of being present and being aware of the presence. Okay? So if you're taking your dog out to go to the bathroom, whatever your routine is, you guys know your routine. So think of something where you will remember to connect with God. And just cultivate that muscle of focus. And then also during this time of application, this is what I want you guys to do is think of that. Think of something that you can do to make it inevitable in your life. Make it inevitable. Getting in the car, exercising worship for 1 minute. Practice casting down idols. I also want you girls to just inspect any of the things that are taking up real estate in your heart and mind that really that space belongs to God, anything that's causing anxiety or any of those things. So just begin to inspect. And when you connect with God, when you are present with him, he'll bring those things to mind. He'll be like, hey, yeah, actually this thing that's actually not producing life for you. So let's redirect and focus over here instead. So ask God if there is any idols that need to be cast down. So, and then the benefit that we get from all this is we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we begin to focus on the Lord, we begin to be transformed. So I'm going to have the girls come up here. And we're going to have a time, just a few minutes, where you girls, while the worship team is playing, where you guys can just take some time to journal, pull out your phone, just take a quiet moment, log stuff away in your head, and just apply this right now. We're going to apply it right now. And then Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you want to make this declaration for the first time today, I encourage you to make it boldly. Tell the women at your table. So we're going to enter into this little time of instrumental, and then we're going to begin to worship. But I want you guys to tell the ladies at your table. There's a leader at your table. Raise your hand, table leaders. Talk to your table leader. If you have questions, connect with them. Get prayed for. We want to pray for you guys. Get connected into a church. That's actually another really great inevitability. If you want to connect and grow in your relationship with God, that's literally what church is for. Every Sunday, there's a whole thing, a whole group of people who want you to connect with the Lord. And so that's what Sundays are about too. So Westside is a great place to come and get plugged in and connect with the Lord. I love you guys. This is really fun. I'm going to pray for you as you enter into this time of connecting with God. So God, I just thank you so much for this time where we get to be intentional with you. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for the women in here who are making that choice for the first time to choose you and to choose life and to know that they are just loved, that it is about love and it's been about love this whole time. So God, I just bless those women. God, I thank you for each woman in here who is reconnecting their hearts and just being reminded of the sweetness of intimacy and connection with you, God. We just love you. We give you our lives. And we're thankful for you.